Hey everyone, welcome back to the Caf Commas podcast, where we get down to the nitty-gritty aspects of student life. New main episodes come out every other Monday, and new sub-series episodes come out on the Wednesdays in between. Make sure to follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, don't forget to drop a follow on our Instagram at Caf Commas Podcast. Enjoy! Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Caf Combo's podcast. Today I am joined by Maxwell, Anna, and I'm Emma. And we have a very special guest today, our buddy Jane. Hi Jane.
Hello.
So today we're going to be talking about our experience in the gifted program, but a more social aspect. So we invited Jane here so that we could have even more input about gifted. So just to start, as a little preface, these are all our own opinions and our own experience in the gifted program. We might say some things that make it seem bad, but gifted isn't all that bad.
Do we want to start by like maybe explaining a bit what the gifted program is in case there's people who aren't aware?
Yeah, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I don't really know what gifted is. I just, in third grade, they sat us all down one day and they gave us a really thick book of test questions. And then they made us answer. I never got told that we were going to do a gifted test. Did you guys?
No, they called it the bubble test.
Yeah, you have to fill in all the little bubbles. So we just did that. And they just told you, they gave you a letter or they called you down to do a meeting with a counselor almost, and they asked you questions, and then one day you get a yellow piece of paper saying, oh, you're gifted. So that's what gifted is to me.
You guys weren't told that you were doing the gifted test?
No. It was like back to back with EQAO too, so I thought, oh, is this another EQAO?
Like the other grade threes are like, did you know that's the gifted test? And I was like, oh, really? Okay. And like, okay, personally, I didn't expect to get anything from it because there was like this one really smart girl in our class, and we were all like, "Oh, she's gonna be gifted," and I was like, "That's cool for her." I don't know what that means though.
Yeah, I didn't know what gifted meant.
And then she was called down, and then I was called down too, and I was like, "Wait a second."
Whoa. I honestly didn't know because none of my friends knew what gifted meant, or at least we never talked about it. So after the test, we're like, we had a really big test today. What was that? And none of us thought we passed because one of the questions was like, what was the Taj Mahal modeled after? And it was like a list of fruit. None of us knew. So it was just a lot of guessing.
I remember when I like got my letter for the, like they pulled you out of the class and they were like, they gave you this envelope and they're like, show this to your parents. And I was like, I thought the gifted test was like I didn't know it was a gifted test, so I was like, it's to see if you are not like meeting the standard of the government. So it's like, they pulled you out. I'm like, oh my God, I must be below the standard. So it was just like going home and I'm like, what's in it? And then my mom was like, because my parents really didn't know what gifted was at the time either. They were like, I don't know either, but like, you have to go meet somebody. And then all of a sudden it's like grade four happens and then your entire academic career or like a bunch of aspects of your life kind of changed because of something that you barely even knew about at the time.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to schools for the gifted program?
Yeah.
I know because some people didn't. Like Namin, he went to our school before gifted started. So he was okay, I guess. He knew everyone that was there and then he was meeting new friends. That's always nice. You know, you go to grade four and you're like, oh, even more friends. Nice. But yeah, I don't know. Did you guys have a hard time deciding whether or not you wanted to go to a different school for gifted?
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. My parents, because in gifted, before gifted, you're like 8 or 9, right?
Yeah.
My parents let me decide, but I didn't really know. I was like, oh, okay, so it's a school for kids who think differently. That's what they describe it to you as. And I was so torn because I didn't want to leave, like, the friends that I had at my old school. But in grade three, like, it's not like friend groups are like really, really strong. Like the connections are like really important because like everybody's just kind of generally just like buddies. But I the final decision that I made was just that, well, I still live here, so I'm still going to see them. But if I go to the gifted school, then I don't have to make friends with all the gifted kids. I could still keep these kids. And then when I tell them why I switched schools, they're going to be like, oh, Anna was smart. Oh, she's so smart. What a cool girl. But that's not really what happened. I think I switched schools, and then I pretty much, I didn't even tell anybody why. So my brother was just at that school, and then kids would like come up and ask him why he was still there if we moved away. And he's like, oh, we didn't move away. She just changed schools.
Yeah. I actually had the option to go for a couple days. They said I could stay at my regular school and then go to the school with the gifted program once a week. And I almost did that. But then my mom told me there was this girl I didn't really like. So my mom said, oh, if you go to a new school, you won't have to see her anymore. That sold me. So that is why I moved schools.
Your life changed from that point because you had a grudge at someone in grade 3?
Yes.
Yeah. It was different for me because, I have an older brother. He was in the gifted program. He's, 4 years older than me. So I pretty much knew, what it was and, what I was going into. And, yeah, it was kind of like a... I would say it was a tough decision to make, but it wasn't that hard because, of course, not that much seems like really important stuff when you're in grade 3. But it was kind of just oh, I'm leaving my old friends. But also, I know there's two other people from my class that are going, and it's cool, and I'm going to get taught better than I was in my other classes. So, yeah. But I think the different thing for me was your guys' gifted schools that you moved to were not that far from your original schools, right? Or were they was it a big change, or was it pretty relatively close to where you live?
I had to start taking a bus.
Going
on a school bus every morning and after school.
Yeah, so
for me my parents,
go ahead. I was...
For me, my parents moved houses the year gifted changed, so it's I was moving to where because our old school didn't offer the program, so it's we moved and we just moved towards the new school. So it's not only am I in have no friends, but I don't even know the area as much. So it's I didn't have to bus, but at the same time I had to actually invest in this new kind of community, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for me, I lived in a really small town. So the closest gifted school was a 40-minute bus ride. So that change, I was already taking the bus to my school before going to gifted because of how small it was, and the closest school was pretty far away. But then I had to take an even longer bus ride, and it was waking up really early in the morning was not fun to just sit on a bus, especially in the winter.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah. You know what I do notice, though, about because gifted, you kind of all conglomerate at one school that has the program? You guys ever watch movies and you're people just go next door and their friends are there? Or you can just be oh yeah, let's meet at this park, and it's a 2-minute walk for everyone. For gifted, because all of us come from different neighborhoods, but we all go to one school, I can never do that with my friends.
Mm.
Everyone is so far from each other. There's no, movie-esque... Yeah,
you have to
come on over. No one can do that.
To see where the closest point between everybody is.
Because
our school has a really big, big zone for the gifted area. So, people's houses could be, literally, 30, 40 minutes drive between them.
Yeah, I was just going to say that was something that continued all the way until almost high school. There was people that live across the city from you, and you just have to figure out where the busing is to meet up with them.
I always remember being even today, being super jealous of the kids who would just go to the park and just leave their house, and they were already with their friend group. Whereas when all your friends live so far apart. It's like you have to like plan for weeks just to meet up and like get transport times and parks right, and it's just like so much more work sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Also, some of my friends who aren't gifted, like now in high school, so they're not gifted, so they all come from the same neighborhood, so you know it's easy for them to hang out, and then I'm here like, I don't know, a 15-minute drive away from them, so yeah, don't really get to hang out with them.
Did you guys see like a very visible like divide between like the gifted classes and the mainstream classes in your elementary schools?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like, it was a bad divide too. Like, it wasn't just, oh, we don't get the chance to talk to each other. We just straight up didn't want to talk to each other. Like, there was such a bad split between us. Like, even not just with academics, but with sports too. I remember when gifted kids started winning track and field activities, the non-gifted kids will get mad at us. Like, can you guys chill? Can you guys go stick to your books? So, yeah, there was beef.
Yeah. It existed because there was always, like, that thing with, like, gifted people would call, like, mainstream people things, and then they would get mad, and then mainstream people would call gifted people things, and they would get mad. But I didn't really notice, like, too much of a divide, because at the elementary school that I went to, like, there were certain classes where we had to be, like, combined. So then we were kind of just, like, chill.
Yeah, like, for some split classes, they would combine us with another split. Because, like, well, one of our elementary schools kind of did, like, a pre-high school model of schedules. So we would switch classes for every class, like, course. Kind of. So some of our classes would be mixed with the mainstream kids, and they'd be like really nice. But like, since that single, what, like 60 minutes was the only time that I had with that social group a week, or like maybe twice a week, I don't know. Like, I didn't know those guys at all. And then when I would have to partner with them, I'd be so scared because, like, I've never talked to these people, and I never see them aside from just, like, geography.
Yeah, I wish, they were really cool people. Like, I wish there wasn't that mindset that we couldn't get along, because I think I became friends with two of them during graduation rehearsal. Like, we'd be sitting together because of alphabetical order, and that's how we became friends in, like, the last month of school. And that was really... That is too bad.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that too. Like, in our grade 8 year, that's when everyone kind of became closer between, like, the gifted and the mainstream. Like, because it was, like, there's more things, like, that put everyone together with, like, all the practicing for the events. And, like what you're saying about graduation, I remember there were, like, a couple people that I, like, knew. And we were on, like, we didn't hate each other, but we only started talking, like, because we were put together for stuff. And then, like, the grad trip and everything, that was... Yeah, it kind of like mixed everyone together.
We were kind of split during the grad trip. Like, we were all sitting at the front of the bus, and then the rest of them were sitting in the back, where like we'd just be weirdly grouped off. But I guess it makes sense because we weren't friends. Like, I wouldn't sit with people who weren't in your friend group. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, you just, unless you make the effort to cross over and like talk to them, but no one did because everyone thought like we couldn't get along. Mm-hmm. And that was really... Yeah, and they kept splitting us, like, not just us, but, like, school itself would split us up, like, the academic awards would get split up, events we were kind of split up for a while, I don't know, it was just, never got the chance to talk to them until really later, and then, I mean, when you're younger, you don't really want to go against what everyone else is saying, you know, especially at a new school. If people are saying don't talk to the kids who aren't gifted, you kind of don't, right? And it's not until you're older that you realize none of that really mattered.
Yeah. I like to think like that divide was kind of created by the fact that everything was so like separated in the first place. Like, because it was like a separate program, there's automatically this like expectation. There's like this great difference between the two. And even if like, I don't know where I'm going with this, but like, we were kids, right? And then having such like a weird like dynamic between two large groups of children was really weird. And I feel like there are probably ways that you could like there's not that many differences between us realistically, but like we've kind of like, I don't want to say been like forced into like having this like competition between like gifted and mainstream, but it exists because of that.
I think it was better in high school though. I mean, like in gifted, you're not in gifted in elementary school, you're stuck with like the same people whether or not you like it, you know? Like there were some courses that honestly did not need to be gifted, but because of the whole, you know, your homeroom class is your class in elementary school. But then in high school, you start switching classes, you know? You take classes that aren't specifically gifted, which means you get to be with other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I could go through courses where people wouldn't know I was gifted until, you know, it got brought up. But, yeah, that was nice. You got to actually have an opportunity to meet people outside of that program.
I liked how in high school you got to, like, branch out more with people and, like, you didn't feel like you were limited to, like, a certain group just because you were with them basically your entire school day. Like, I know that high school, between high school and elementary, the school also just gets bigger in general, but, like, the fact that you're not with gifted people all the time is kind of nice in that you can kind of branch out into people with different interests or with different mindsets, and, like, you kind of, I feel like, you know that social stagnation you have in the gifted program? I feel like when you get to high school, you actually start getting out of that because you're actually meeting people who aren't in the same, like, ring of thought, I guess you could say, as you. So it's like you get to see all these different perspectives that you weren't really nourished with when you were in the gifted program in elementary school.
Yeah, especially people who didn't have a gifted program in their elementary school, so they kind of don't know what it's like to interact with people who have the label on them. So you can kind of push that to the side, like, oh yeah, we're just classmates, yeah, we both take phys ed, that's cool.
I guess I thought about it more, or like saw it more, like that, like continued to think with this mindset of like, oh, we're different, because like throughout high school I would like, I think the way that our high school did the gifted program was interesting, because I know other high schools do, like, you can choose which gifted courses you want to do for grade 9 and 10, but then for ours it was like you have to be in like two each semester, and then you're with the same class for those ones, so it was kind of similar to like elementary school in that regards. But like, continuing from that, because, like, there were two periods of the day that were, like, pretty much locked in for being with the same people, I found that, like, when you didn't have as much free choice for your courses and electives, the other two classes, I would also find myself with, like, a good chunk of gifted people. And maybe this is just, like, because of my character and not being as outgoing, but I found myself, like, leaning towards or gravitating towards like just staying with the gifted people, because it's like people that I knew that I spent more time with, and I think that kind of like limited how much I like met new people and interacted with new people. Yeah
because I mean, I found that in the first year a lot of the gifted kids took music and or Latin or like tech, so there was a lot of just like, oh, we see each other pretty much four times a day or three times a day. So obviously it's a lot easier to become friends like that. So, I mean, I guess I'm kind of thankful that at least I had people who were secure to like always just talk to me. Because, I mean, I was really scared because I was going to a new school. I didn't know that many people from my old school who were going there. And then the rest of the high school population, you don't really know at all. So I guess that was one thing that, I don't know, there's two sides to it.
Mm-hmm. Did people ever, like, bring up, like, the fact that you're gifted a lot? Like in context that didn't even really make sense.
I don't know. Teachers do. It's kind of funny. Like, teachers who don't teach gifted classes, they'll be like, they'll bring up gifted, and then everyone will just kind of look at each other if they're gifted people. Yeah, the awkward eye contact.
I think family bring it up more.
Mm.
Yeah, I found that, like, outside of school, people bring it up because they don't really know a lot about it.
I guess this is more in context, but what something that I noticed was, like, in classes, like, I think it was, like, in grade 10, I started to have more classes where there was, like, less and less, like, gifted people that I already knew. So that's when I started to, like, talk to more people that I didn't know and wasn't familiar with. And then it would always be, like, oh, you're gifted, right? So you're just going to get 100? And I was, like, oh. And then, it would always be the thing is, like, this, like, kind of idea that, like, because I'm in the gifted program, I'm automatically going to, like, succeed and get through everything really easily. But then it's kind of, like, a weird feeling because then I have this idea that there's kind of, like, this thing in the back of my head where it's, like, yeah, it's, like, I don't know how to explain this, but it's, like, ingrained in you that you are this, like, high achiever, like, high grade, high standard person, even though you have to, like, be realistic and realize that you're going to have times where you don't do well and don't succeed.
Yeah, did you have people ask you questions, like, help, like, ask for help in the class because you were gifted and you're like, girl, I don't know what's going on either. I don't know what to tell you. And they'd be like, well, aren't you gifted? And you'd be like, yeah, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be really awkward because you're, okay, because of what gifted has done, like what you said about ingraining stuff in you, I kind of, I know I'm not, but sometimes I feel like, yeah, I'm smart. And then people will come to you, ask a question that you don't know how to answer. Like, honestly, I think my sweater's backwards. expect so much from you because you came from the gifted program, but then you're like, we are in the same class. I don't know what's happening either. We read the same PowerPoint. I don't know what's going on. I cannot help you. And then it's that feeling like you're disappointing someone, you know, and then at the same time, you're disappointing yourself. It's just that happens a lot.
Did it ever also kind of like water down when you did something good and like succeeded? I don't know if that's the best way to word that, but like sometimes I would like get a good grade and then I would have the response like, oh yeah, you're gifted. So it's just like, yeah, that's just like normal for me, even though it was like it was something that was like really good. And then sometimes it would be like, oh, you get a bad grade, and then it's like, oh, but you're gifted, how did that happen?
Yes, the discrediting.
I mean
it doesn't happen that much because I have explain to my friends, or I've complained about it enough to people that aren't gifted for them to understand, like, that's not something you can say around anyone, you know? Like, I don't know, there is already a lot of pressure in and outside of gifted, and then the added pressure of gifted, like, how you should be, it's very categorized, you know? How high your marks should be, how you should be excelling in a class, because they think you think differently from everyone else. So when you get put in a non-gifted class and it's supposed to be slower or easier for you and you don't do well in it, people get confused. They're like, wait, you're not understanding what's happening? Then what? How are we supposed to? And then it alienates you even more.
Mm-hmm.
There are, like, sometimes when I, like, think about gifted, and it's, like, when you're in third grade, you're put on this, like, pedestal and expected to perform well and, like, expected to be, like, you have potential and stuff like that. But, like, even though there's not even that many people who actually care, it just always feels like somebody's watching you and just waiting to see you kind of, like, fall or, like, not do as well where, like, kids in, let's say, like, the mainstream class would do well. And it's, like, a disappointing and, like, feeling disappointment in yourself sometimes, even though it's, like, it's okay to not be good at everything. Mm-hmm. Or it's like you feel like you haven't met some kind of standard that shouldn't really even be there in the first place.
Did it ever make like the classroom dynamic weird for you guys? When you were in classes that like were with more like is that the word? The majority of the class was like students that weren't in the gifted program.
That weren't. Oh, weren't. I guess when I got into grade 11, so gifted program ends in grade 10, or after grade 10. Yeah, so when you start grade 11, there's no more gifted.
Mm-hmm.
I did not do AP anything for grade 11, while most of my friends in gifted did. So I got into, like, regular university-level functions, and I have friends that aren't gifted, so I had friends in that class. It was chill. It was just So this has nothing to really do with them. It was me. Anytime I got a low mark that I was not happy with, and it would be like an 89, so low with quotation marks, below my own standard, I guess. But I understand that is really stupid, to call high marks low and to use your own standard. So I don't want to do that around other people. But then you kind of just sit there alone in your own disappointment. And you're like, yeah, this is great.
Because one of the things I think in gifted, one of the motivators is that it's like competitive, or they create this competitive environment so that when everybody has marks that are 80 to 100 and you're on the lower spectrum of 80 to 100, you still feel like you're the worst out of everyone, when in reality your everyone isn't actually everybody. It's just a very like a small group of people who, you know, you don't know what they do outside of class. Maybe they have like a ton of like extra programs, or they just spend most of their time on like schoolwork and studying. So that change is really different. And then you're also scared of judgment from like your fellow like peers in gifted, because if your marks are that much lower than theirs, then you feel like they're going to be like wondering why, or like they're going to think that you're not as smart as them. And then I guess that kind of insecurity was probably why I didn't really take APs. And in, like for English, I took like university level English in grade 10. You know, Jane was in my class. The teacher for that was the same as the teacher we had for gifted English in grade 9. And I don't know, in the university level one, there was not that many gifted kids in that class. Just because of the timing and whatever. But I talked so much in that class, and I just felt like I could say whatever. Like, the people in that class were not going to be comparing themselves to what I say, and that lack of judgment was really like empowering for me, I guess, and really changed my confidence. Because my teacher actually, like, she was like, she started talking to me like, she was like, what, like, you've changed so much. And I'm like, it's not me that changed, it's the environment is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was really interesting what you were saying about how like the range of grades, because of how most of us had the same range, that when you're on the lower part of that range, it starts to get to you. I think that's the weirdest part of gifted. When you're coming out of it, it's like coming out of that bubble, and everyone is watching you come out of that bubble. So they're watching your awkward transition period where you're like, what can I say? What can I say? How do I act around these people now? You know, because, you know, I don't want to say I wasn't myself when I was in the gifted program, but there was definitely a lot more coming out of my shell in grade 11, where I felt more comfortable in an academic environment around other people. Like, just talking to people was easier because I felt more like I was one of them, you know, instead of an outsider. Like, it feels mean to say, but I feel like gifted was so seen as an outsider thing. You know, we had our own activities, we had our own things going on.
Yeah. I think I would say like the same thing for myself, but another thing was like in elementary school, I went from this one school from kindergarten to grade 3, then moved for gifted, and then 2 years at the gifted school, then I moved houses to another, to where we are now. And then that elementary school, for some reason, it ended in grade 6, and then we had to move to another school. So I think like who I am now and like how I act around other people is built around the fact that I had to move around so much and like meet different people and have to always be like kind of, I feel like as a kid I was still trying to like figure out who I was, so then my personality was built around like who I was around, which is like a really bad thing to say, but I was also a kid, so I don't know, I think I started to figure out myself more and like be more confident in who I was in high school, like what you were saying, Emma. Yeah. And this is kind of crossing over into like what they're going to be talking about in the academic episode, but I definitely have to agree with what Anna was saying about like the range thing for the grades, because there were people in my classes that would have like extracurricular classes learning the subject like 2 years in advance, and they'd be like excelling, but then I'd be like comparing myself who did like no extracurricular classes and like didn't do a lot of homework or studying to them. But because I was in the gifted program, I felt like I had to live up to this standard and reach like achieve to this level of the people who were also in my class. And then I don't know, I was like the kid who would like get my test and like hide it and just like throw it into my backpack right away while other people were talking about their grades.
Yeah, oh gosh, the talking about the grades is so, because it's really competitive, mm-hmm. that environment, like not even just with grades, I think I'm going to leave grades for the academic episode, but everything became a competition.
Mm.
Like in grade 8, I think people started to have more freedom in their own homes, so they'd come back the next day and they'd be like, I only got 2 hours of sleep because I was doing all that homework we had assigned. And then people would be, like, competing with how little sleep they got. Like, what? Why? of all the things. Like, it's not even a good thing, you know? It's not like, oh, I got this record at a swim meet, and then you're comparing swim track records. It's how much sleep you're getting. And that's just how... That was one of the most prominent things about the gifted program to me. Like, that the competitive mindset that gets into... that's ingrained in everyone, or like most people, that becomes a huge topic of discussion between your friends and you, just fighting each other over really mundane stuff.
Was there anything else besides sleep that you noticed? Because I think for me it was also like cramming for tests, like how little time you spent on like studying or working on something and like still getting it done. It was like, yeah, I mean, I still do this because I procrastinate a lot, but it would be like, yeah, you know, I started the project like 2 days before it was due and I still finished it and got a decent mark. So like other stuff kind of like that.
Yeah, they did that when we were really young with their parents. People would say like, I had to hide from my parents for this many hours because I was scared of them because of the mark I got, and it'd be like a 95. And it was just... I don't know. It's kind of scary to think about that people were fighting about who had it worse. Mm. Because now that I think about it, it was kind of a cry for help. I don't know. Maybe it was. Just looking back at it, why would you air yourself out like that? I don't know.
I feel like with Gifted, like, to add on to that, there is this need to feel validated for feeling super stressed out just about being gifted. Because it's like, you're put into this program, you're in a really, I guess you could say, like, privileged position. You have, you know, like, special teachers and special accommodations, and they kind of, like, set you apart, and then, but then you still feel like there's something wrong. So I remember, like, searching on, like around, like, grade 9, I was, like, having kind of, like this identity crisis with gifted, and it was, like, looking for validation for feeling, like, stressed out or feeling like this isn't all good, because everybody is like, oh, you have it so well, though. But it's like you need somebody to tell you that it's okay that you're feeling stressed or burnt out, or like that you feel like you're slipping behind or something like that, and not too like super satisfied with the program, even though it's really great in some places. It like the need to address how it's not great all the time.
Yeah, the validation part, that's really, yeah, I think that's right. Like having people acknowledge that you're freaking out and that you're not doing so great, you know, because of the program, because people view it at such a high regard that anything bad is coming out of it doesn't sound right to them. So in any way you can, you're kind of saying, oh, I'm struggling.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like built into you that like, hey, you're going to be stressed, but it's okay because you think differently. and you're in a different class with other people, and you're separate from the other kids. So it's okay. It's just, you know, it's something you're going to go through because you think differently.
It is what it is.
There was a time, like, at the end of the semesters where we'd have a really big project, and I remember every single time that we would complain about the specific project, all the kids who were not in gifted would say, "Oh, I wish I wasn't gifted. You're so lucky." And then everybody would be like, no, don't say that, because I didn't eat breakfast like 5 days this week because I was so tired from staying up from working. And then they'd all be like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. I did that to my brother because my brother didn't pass the gifted tests in third grade, and my mom was saying, "Should I send him to go do that?" Like, I don't know, it costs a lot, I think, to do the gifted test on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But she wanted to send him somewhere to do it himself because he didn't pass the school one, and I told her, "Don't do that to him. Don't put him in that program, please." So I had to come up with ways to justify it without her asking, like, "What is wrong with you?" But yeah, I don't know. I don't regret it, though. I don't think I'd ever say, "Oh, I wish I stayed at my old school. I didn't like gifted that bad," you know?
Yeah, I was going to say that, too. I think, like, I am who I am because of what I went through in the gifted program. And I think I enjoyed it for the most part. Like, when you look, of course, now, like, what Emma said at the beginning, how, like, it sounds like we're making the gifted program out to be, like, this really bad thing. Looking back on it, yes, there were times where it caused stress and problems, but I think for the overall experience, I think I enjoyed it. I think one of the funniest things about being gifted in our high school was, like, what Anna was saying about the end of the semester, the projects that we had to do, because we had two gifted courses each semester. So then instead of just doing separate projects for the courses, they were just like, "Hey, let's come up with this really creative, really stellar idea that combines both of the courses. And then we'll put all of the kids together into groups and then have them work on this project over the span of, like, what was it, like 2 months or like a month and a bit." And then sometimes it would be so weird. So there was one of them, I think, which one was it? There was a couple where we had to, like, dress up. Then when we had the big presentation days, we would have, like, how many people were in our gifted class? Like 50 people? 50-something people?
Yep.
Yeah, so then there was, like, 50 people in these random, like, costumes in the library. But the thing is, the library was still open for people to go study, so then we'd be doing our presentations throughout the day in the library. I think there was one time I had, like, red face paint for something, and I was wearing, like, an app. There was one time I dressed up as David Suzuki. There was another time I wore all red and had red face paint because I was supposed to represent fire in deforestation. And it was just stuff like that where people would walk in the library and they'd be like, "Oh, it's the gifted kids." And then the next couple of days when you talk to people that weren't gifted, they're like, "Yo, why are you guys, like, cosplaying in the library?" And we'd just be like,
"Yeah, straight up David Suzuki roleplay in the library." Yeah.
It was a fun experience.
And they'd make us, like, act too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh my goodness, the skits.
Like, we'd be, like, acting really weird scenes, or, like, yeah. And then, like, people on, like, the other side of the library, you just feel like, it's like you were kind of protected in that, like, gifted bubble while we were presenting. But, like, when you come out of the library and, like, you see people again, you're like, "Oh, wait, there were more people in the library than I thought." And it's just, like, coming days are just like, yeah, that was our project. This is the special program.
Oh my god, this person I had a crush on was in the library every time we did the gifted summative presentations. So, worried that they'd be there when we were presenting, like, my group. I wanted to make sure they were not, because I always had a spare. It was, like, fifth period, and we had to do it at the end of the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was awkward.
Yeah, one of the funniest ones was, what was it? It was the combination of English and history. We had to take historical figures and fictional characters that were good and bad and somehow write an entire like 40 minute skit of them having a discussion about like what they did. The dinner party, yeah, that was the one that was David Suzuki, but there was a group that did like, they had like Hitler and like, was it right?
Oh yeah, that's on a whole other thing. Like the, you know the typical like the boys that are very into like history specifically and also really love edgy humor, the teachers just let them be a group for whatever reason, and they were just, I don't know, like obnoxious kids but also combining with like, it's literally for marks right now.
Man. Yeah, that was an experience that you can look back on in high school.
Yeah, I think the another fun thing was gifted retreat. I feel like gifted retreat was something that like we, like the entire gifted class went on, like what was it, near the end of grade 10, because gifted was like ending, so we went to like some like outdoor YMCA wilderness retreat, and we just like were in groups and did a bunch of activities and stuff. That was probably like the first time that the entire group of gifted kids was together for a reason that wasn't like relating to like a project or grades, mm-hmm. or something. Like that was like the first like social thing that we all had together.
It also kind of gives you gifted nostalgia, like in a sense, like it's like it's all ending now, like mm-hmm. everything that that you've come up to, it's, and then you have like the like funnest, or for like, at least for me it was like really fun, like the funnest experience just like with that group outside of a stressful competitive academic sense, and you have to say goodbye to the program, and it's like, why didn't you do this earlier so we could like bond earlier or something like that.
Yeah, that's true. Seeing like that same social group that you have within gifted outside of the gifted like mindset, you know, it was just for fun. And for us, it was our last hurrah in gifted because it was the grade 9 and 10 gifted kids, but we were in grade 10. So that was our last thing doing together. But that was so much fun. That was just because we got to roast marshmallows and we got to do outdoor activities with even our teachers too. Like we did archery and all that fun stuff, man.
Yeah, I don't want to say
a lot. It's like an opportunity.
Yeah. I don't want to say all of, like, the friendships in Gifted were built off of, like, trauma and, like, experiencing things through the program. But it's definitely, like, the reason why a lot of us were friends was because we were in the program and, like, mm-hmm. built our friendships through, like, the experiences that we had. So having that with, like, no expectation, no, like, this is a presentation for marks was a really fun experience. I think... Was it you, Emma, that was, like, you were, like, dehydrated or something?
Oh, God. I was losing my mind during gifted retreat. I was so tired, and, because, yeah, it was, like, the last month of school, and that's when everything gets assigned to you. That's when all the banquets are happening, because, like, I know, I think the night after, the night after we had music banquet, so I was tired from planning and doing that, and we had a science test, I'm pretty sure. Did we have a science test? No, that was...
I don't remember.
No, that was the year before. Never mind. I can't remember. No science test. That was the year before. But yeah, that, like, I was tired. But still a good experience.
Yeah, you were, like, acting, like, loopy and stuff. And I was, like, genuinely concerned that you were, like, going through something. And then everyone was like, no, this is just how Emma is when she's tired. Like, I remember there was one time I had sunglasses on, so I was just standing there. And then Emma walks up to me, and she's, like, staring into the reflection of my sunglasses, looking at the people, like, behind her through my sunglasses. And then I'm just like, what are you doing? And she's like, look behind you. It's like, our teacher. And then I look there, and, like, our teacher is not there. And I was like, guys, is Emma okay? And she's like, she's just tired. It's okay. This is normal.
It was a hot day. It was, like, end of May. It was, it would have been, like, 2 years ago. Today now, because it's May 29th, almost, maybe close.
Wait, oh my goodness, that's
2 years ago.
2 years.
It was a hot day. I was wearing a sweater. We'd gone like hiking. It was uphill. It was, yeah.
And then the evening was really cold. I changed like sweaters like 3 times that day. I remember it was really? Like, hot in the afternoon, and then like really like cool in the evening, and like on the bus we were like cold because it's nighttime. like, but it was like a really good experience either way, because aside from like Emma being really tired, I think like gifted retreat otherwise you otherwise painted as this is the first time you're seeing everybody, like, if it, obviously you're yourself with your friends, but like you're seeing everybody kind of in their own element,
mm-hmm.
and it's like chaotic, but it's also really, really fun.
Yeah, it's like I wish we had more of this the entire time we were together throughout our classes, where we could be like ourselves.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, that would have probably made gifted summative dynamics a lot better.
Yeah,
did you guys have like a hard not a hard time, just like sometimes a dynamic in the gifted summative group got a little
bad? Because especially I had some, my groups had a lot of trouble for whatever reason, or like I guess maybe this was the first year only, I don't remember, but it's just because like first of all there's tension if like, because you want to get a good mark, everybody wants to get a good mark, they're like, oh, I need this to like boost whatever, this is like 10-15%, so if you're slacking off then that's bad, and I want to tell you to not do that, but then also like what, like the social dynamics between like gifted people are like really weird, especially when it's like social relationships crossed with academic relationships. So then like sometimes it would get really awkward, like, please, like, oh my gosh, you have to do more for the group, or like, oh my gosh, stop talking about like other stuff, but then like you can't say stuff because like you feel rude or whatever, because you know them personally.
Yeah, that is true.
I think we were in the same group, Anna, with that. There was one group that we had that there was, I think I caused, or I didn't cause, but I was like, I felt like very annoyed, because like of course it's like grade 9, your first year of high school, you want to get good grades, start off on a good note, and it's like 10 or 15% of our grade on like a group project, and then like right from the beginning when our groups were put together, we had like issues with like figuring out what we wanted to do, and then once we figured it out, there was like issues with like people not finishing things on time for like the deadlines that we had set to finish certain parts of the project, and there's just so much stress that went into that, and it was hard because like of course like we were friends with those people, so then being annoyed at them because of like the way they work is kind of just like,
it just like feels like it'll have other consequences after it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I guess that happens in any group dynamic, whether or not it's gifted, like people who, I don't know, but the thing with gifted is that I don't want to generalize, even though that's pretty much what we've been doing, but most people are type A, you know, overachievers, or they need to get their stuff done, so I wouldn't, the fear that people wouldn't pull their weight at all was kind of non-existent, but for me, I don't like to procrastinate, but I know there are people who do. So when you get put in a group like that, it's scary because you're like, we set a date and you're doing it on the day that you didn't plan to do it 3 days ahead, and then you kind of fight over it. But yeah, at least it always got done, at least for my groups. Wait, Anna, were you in that group that someone kind of just dipped? Didn't do their work at all?
No. I was not in that group.
Okay.
But it was really weird to just have a group that was, I don't remember really how they chose the groups, but it was just that we all had to put in pieces of work that balanced between the two subjects, but everybody had different strengths within the group, so we would have to like kind of push things to one person and push a different thing to a different person because we all want it to be the best quality but are not all capable of contributing equally to every aspect. So that was like one thing that the teachers had no idea, like, how to fix that, or, like, they didn't know, they did not expect that to be an issue. So a lot of groups just ended up kind of, like, splitting the work the wrong way so that, like, everybody would have to take credit for something that they didn't do. I'm not gonna be confessing the stuff, but there was one part where I did a lot of art for my group, and then you can see Maxwell smiling, but Maxwell and another group member wrote up my part of, like, the writing is part, because I had to work so much on the art part. There was, like, so much art involved for no reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would just be like that, because everybody wanted the product to be really good, but then also we were so bad at managing time and so bad at, like, planning to something that, like, that we all had the same vision for.
Yeah. That's the thing. Another way, we were talking about gifted summative, how it's, like, two subjects put together. There were some summatives where I didn't do one aspect at all. Like, if math was in it, I didn't do the math at all. Like, I was just putting together the slideshow, and that was my credit for the whole project. Yeah. I mean, that's fine, but I don't know if that's what they wanted. But that's how it ended up.
I think, like, another pressure with, like, the gifted summative or any group project is because some people kind of like getting their things done with set deadlines before the actual deadline, and then other groups are kind of like everything just builds up and then you do it all, like, near the end. I remember for one of my gifted summatives, we were finishing it the morning that it was due, so while they were, like, setting library, we were in the cafeteria just, like, scribbling on paper. And you would look to the other groups that were done because they were, like, planning type groups, and they were, like, all put together, all just, you know, enjoying the morning. And then there's just us, like, scribbling, and we're like, why didn't we do that? Like, and then there's, like, this pressure of, like, we could have planned this better. And if we were more organized, it would have worked better. But, like, it's just that comparison of different working styles. And it's, I mean, we all did well enough at the end, but, man.
Wait, did we talk about family yet? I feel like...
No, not really.
Did explaining gifted to your family ever go kind of weird? Like, I did not know how to explain gifted summative to my family. Like, why are we hot gluing... Okay, this wasn't gifted summative, this was just a project, but for one project I had to cut up pool noodles and then hot glue them together to make an island to represent the island from Life of Pi. The fumes from the burning pool noodle? But yeah, I did not explain, like, this is a gifted project to my family.
I think my family was probably used to it because my brother had already gone through it. So it was just like, yeah, he's like there. I was doing things that he had already done because he went to the same high school and elementary school for the most part. So yeah, it was just like, oh, it is what it is. But, like, extended family that didn't really know kind of had, like, the same understanding of gifted as, like, people that didn't go to school where a gifted program was there. Is just like, so you're special and you're smarter than the other kids. And then I would have like I remember one of my uncles, like, we were at, like, their house for, like a family gathering or something, and then he was, like, testing me on, like, the times tables. And
yes,
then, but
yes,
the thing is
so much.
I guess because I'm gifted and I think differently, I can't memorize the times tables just by knowing, like, the grid and, like, where everything lines up, because, like, in, I don't remember what grade it was, I don't know if you guys did this too, but in my gifted classes for math, we'd have, like, a set amount of time, and, like, certain numbers were, like, jumbled across, like, the axes of a chart, and then we just have to fill it out with, like, the multiplication of the two numbers going across and fill out the entire thing as much as possible. So I was, like, getting really bad grades on those because I couldn't memorize just, like, this number goes with this number to make this number. And I had to come up with, like, really weird, like, things that I still use to, like, to memorize the times tables. Yeah, so my uncle was, like, testing me on it, and I just couldn't do it because I couldn't remember anything, and I was stressed out. I was just panicking, and I just started, like, crying.
Oh, no. Yeah, the thing your uncle did to you, like asking you questions. I remember I went back to my old elementary school for daycare because my brother still went to my old elementary school. So I'd take the bus from my new elementary school to my old one. And when people knew that I was gifted, this guy who was like a year older than me, it was before we'd learn about square roots, he'd ask me stuff like, what's the square root of 625? And I'd be like, what is a square root? I'm in fourth grade. And he'd get like confused. He'd be like, I'm smarter than you. Why are you in gifted? And I'd be like, well, first of all, you're older than me. Second of all, they didn't teach me that yet. Like, even if I'm smart, I'm not just going to know it. Mm-hmm. So that happened a lot as a kid. People would ask me really obscure questions and then get confused when I couldn't like answer.
That was something also in classes sometimes, because like I would have people that did like what I said earlier, the classes outside of school, that so they knew a lot more in the subject, and then they'd be like talking about how to solve a problem, and I'd just be like, so can you, this is something Kayla says a lot, can you explain it to, or like in biology class, what was it, Kayla would always say, can you explain that the way someone would explain it to like a fourth grade kid or like someone in kindergarten, just so I can understand it. So I felt like that was me, because all of my classmates would be like, oh, we talked about this, and then like something like, oh, remember we did this in the class, and then I was like, I'm just going to copy it and be like, yeah, I know that too.
Yeah, there's something about, like, just in general, gifted kids always needing, like, alternate explanations. I guess that's the main reason why they split it up, because there's different, like, applied way that they have to teach it. But that was, like, I remember in the classes that we had that were gifted or like majority gifted, it would derail. We would have to go learn material at so much a faster pace, just because every class would be completely derailed by questions and questions. Like every single class, everybody would always be asking different like clarification, or they would need like connections to different topics in order to understand things. And so then like leaving that environment was like really weird, because the teacher would always say like, anybody have questions? And then it's just silent. Like even now, like with the Google Meets in my classes that are university level, the teacher like waits for people to ask stuff and nobody says anything. And I know Emma has some experience with that.
It's really awkward. Not anymore, but before this semester when it started, teachers were more adamant about turning your cameras on. So I'd have my camera on during calc class, but I'd be like the only one sometimes. Or just me and another gifted kid. So we'd be the only ones talking, and it was really awkward because I didn't want to add to that mindset that gifted kids are, like, annoyingly talkative or ask questions during class. So I turned my camera off. No more. There's this one video, I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, it's from VeggieTales, where the vegetables are, like, looking at each other and blinking at each other. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do not. I probably would recognize it if you played it, but I don't remember.
Am I allowed to play it, or would we get sued?
I don't
Nicki
know
if Nicki Minaj is playing in the background.
I do.
Okay, wait.
Maybe we'll add it in if I find
it. Okay, I'll send it to you later. But yeah, that's what it feels like. We're just like blinking at each other really that's awkwardly. Like, because I'll answer one question.
Or
wait, sorry?
It's like, are you going to say something? Do I say something? Or if we wait for the teacher, we'll just move on.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Like or sometimes I'll answer one question and then you'll ask another question and I'll be like, I'm not gonna answer another one. Don't look at me like that. I'm not answering another one. Yeah.
Our school did those these types of sessions where you'd have to speak about a certain topic for like one period to address like inequalities in like systems and stuff like that. And I remember the contrast between with the AP class, because there's no gifted anymore, but like the AP class was basically like a bunch of gifted kids. We spoke for like the whole period just about these types of presentations. And then like a week later, I was in my, a U level class, and me and like there were like two other gifted kids, and we were just sitting there, and it was like silence, and it was like the teacher would ask a question, and then you'd answer it, and then like what Emma said earlier, you're like, you don't want to answer the next one, you don't want to be like the only one, it, like just, it's basically just a conversation with your teacher at that point. But at the same time, it's like, it's so silent, and you're like, does nobody have anything to add to this or anything? Like, because there could be potential for like a lot of interesting stuff to be said, but instead it's just like, yeah. One of our teachers likes to call it staring eyeball to eyeball. Like, it's just so awkward.
Yeah, and okay, I know I shouldn't care about what other people say or think, but I don't want to be that, I don't want to add to them thinking that, like, gifted kid talking again, oh my goodness.
I guess that's just showing of, like, how much it sticks, right? We're 2 years out of the gifted program, and we still think about how people are perceiving us as, like, the talkative. Like, I think personally, another thing is, like, gifted made me, like, fear, like, speaking out in classes and being wrong. So I think something I noticed, like, going through classes, like, even into high school, even when, like, gifted classes were done and it was classes with other people, I just wouldn't want to speak or answer questions. Like, I would know the answer and I would have the answer, but then I would always be, like, second-guessing and doubting whether or not it was correct, and then I wouldn't say it in the fear that it was wrong, and then people just, like, I don't know, that's not necessarily just, like, a gifted thing, it's probably just, like, something I've noticed about myself, like, being worried about what people thinking about me getting an answer wrong. I think it's kind of related to, like, the fear of, like, not reaching the academic expectation, even though it's something as small as just answering something in class.
Yeah, like, I'm sure that's that's a fear for everyone, like, gifted or not, but it's, I don't like to add to that, you know, for gifted kids, like, can I call it a stereotype for gifted kids? I don't want to add to the stereotype, you know? Or I don't want to take away from it. I don't know. I feel like I shouldn't adhere to the stereotype. I don't like to. But at the same time, I feel like if I don't, then people are going to look at me like weird.
Like you're trying too hard to like fit in or something like that.
Yeah.
Almost.
Were there any other assumptions that people made about you? Like, besides, like, the grades, would people make assumptions about you just because you're gifted?
I remember in my French class, because French was not gifted, there was, I don't know, I was just talking to this guy, and then I was like, I'm brought up gifted, and he's like, you're gifted? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I thought you were like me. And I was like, wait, what? We're still both people. Don't be like that. And he's like, no, so you're all smart. Man, you're gonna be judging me like I don't know anything. And I was like, no, I don't know anything either, I promise, man.
I don't know. I can't put a finger on anything like that people have outwardly said to me other than academics. Oh, you know what? Yeah, sometimes I do have friends who say, Emma, you're not like the other gifted kids because you're friends with us. I don't know what that means.
Oh yeah, that whole thing about like not being like a gifted kid was kind of also a really weird thing because there was one class specifically where there was like one other gifted person and it was someone that I wasn't that close with, so I didn't like sit around them and I had to meet new people, and then there was other people that I had like somewhat knew from other classes, so then I was sitting with them, and then it started off with like the, oh, you're gonna get really high grades, right? And like, oh, you're gonna help me with this, right? And like, oh, you're gonna be able to just do this really easily, right? And then eventually it transitioned like as they realized that I procrastinate a lot and I don't like schedule out everything and have like an agenda, and I'm just more like a normal student. They're like, oh yeah, you're not like the other gifted kids, right? And then that's kind of like, it's like this struggle because it's like, but I am, but it's also like, but you're not, because it's like, it's comparing yourself to like what people think like the picture perfect gifted student is, and then like just being yourself, and then that realization that the picture perfect gifted student isn't every gifted student, because the point of the program is that everyone is like completely different and thinks completely differently, which is why it's such like a diverse range of like personalities and learning styles.
Yeah, like what you said, how they're kind of seeing you as the not picture perfect gifted kid, because I think a lot of, okay, for me at least, I didn't want to be seen as the annoying gifted kid, but at the same time I didn't want people to see me as like lesser than if I didn't seem like the picture perfect gifted kid, because you know, my ego. But I don't know, it was just so
for validation from
part.
Yeah,
man.
Like a constant two sides of your head kind of like pulling at each other, and it's like I like, for example, I like the family connectedness of gifted, but I'm also like, oh, but aren't we kind of like limited from interacting with other kids? So it's like, how am I supposed to feel? And it's like, you don't know which way you're supposed to feel more, or which way is right, or like which way is true to yourself or something. And it's like, do I be myself? And I'm like, am I being myself, or am I trying not to be that stereotype gifted kid where it's like, you're all study, like you don't have a life, like I hate when people say, oh, you're gifted, you don't have a life, like you just sit and you do homework all day. And it's like that constant need to prove to people like, no, I have hobbies. Like, one assumption that I did hear about gifted kids, like, was somewhere in, like, grade 10. It was, like, in one of our classes, and this kid was like, oh, but gifted kids don't do sports. And I just, like what? They do. They do sports. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure almost every gifted kid has some type of connection to, like, physical activity. And it's, like, those assumptions that are, like, there's no actual gifted kid to model these kinds of things after, I feel like. It's just, like, this stereotype that everybody sort of just has for some reason, and it's like barely anybody meets that stereotype, so you're just kind of confused, and you're like, how do you even think that gifted kids don't do sports, or like that they only study, or like they're perfect children or something like that? Like, it doesn't, you can't see where it comes from, but it's like somewhere out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played on our school soccer team in grade 10 and 11, and it was just weird, like, thinking about it. This is probably also like just in my head how I was perceiving it, but it's like, oh, it's like traditional high school cliques, like, oh, these are like the cool athletes, and I'm like the kid from like the nerdy gifted group that somehow made it onto the team, even though I was like good and I've been playing soccer for like most of my life and I earned my spot on the team and my role on the team. There was always just like this idea that like we weren't like the same, because it's like now I'm out of my playing field to be on like their playing field because they're the sports kids and I come from like the gifted group. This isn't like related to gifted, it's kind of out of context, but like someone at a tryout for one of the teams was like I don't wear my glasses when I play, but then I wear them after because so I can see stuff, because my prescription's not that bad that I need to wear it while I play. But then we finished the tryout, and then we're all at the benches, like, putting our, like, normal clothes back on. And then I put my glasses on, and then one dude just turns to me and he goes, Maxwell, you know, you look so, like, sick and cool when you don't wear glasses, but then when you put them on, you look like one of those hipster dudes that studies in a Starbucks. And this isn't related to gifted, but I was just like, what do you say that? I was just like, thanks, man, you know, my vision is just... it's just great. I don't even know what I said. It was just such an awkward position to put in. I was like, thanks, man.
I guess that's kind of how it feels like when you transition between friend groups. Like when you sometimes like the podcast friend group, we're all gifted, you know? So like talking to you guys is really different from talking to people who aren't gifted. Like we'll have another friend group that's a mix, and the conversation is very different, or the energy is different. I feel, I feel a little more tired when I talk to the podcast group afterwards, because we're all like the same almost, the way we interact, and it's like talking to a bunch of people who are all up there, like energy levels, and then we all slowly die together. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, as time goes on, because of how much we, like, put energy into conversations, like, arguing.
Yeah, and I feel like we, a lot of the time we do, it's almost back to that competition thing between us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we kind of argue to speak. I think it's probably evident in the podcast when we start to argue to speak. That's, like, all our conversations, not just in podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, Jane, do you have that with, like, people that isn't us?
I feel like when I talk to gifted people, for some reason the conversation always needs to like veer into some like meta conversation. Like, I don't know why it happens, but like when you talk to like people who aren't steeped in that mindset from like grade four, I guess, it's like you just talk about like, oh hey, you did you see that movie? And it's like, yeah, I thought it was cool. And you don't like go into character analysis in the middle of nowhere. You're just talking about the movie and you're like, I like that dude's outfit. Like, or like when that dude did that thing with the I don't know. Like, but then when like you have like when you talk to gifted kids, for some reason it just relates back to school, all like, or not school, but just like something academic, like character development, or like, oh, there was that plot hole where this person could have done that. And you're just like, I like those conversations, but they get exhausting at some point because you need so much brain power just to like have them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's like all our conversations. So that's what I see when I'm talking to other people. Like, not that our conversations are not intellectual, but it's never where I have to pick my brain every time we speak. You know?
Yeah. Something else I noticed was like going into, I mean, I took the AP classes, so it was like a good chunk of the class was gifted kids, but then there were also like other people from that were in grade 9 and 10 were in university level classes, and I felt really like awkward when there were times that like gifted kids would bring up things that like only gifted kids knew, and then the other people that didn't, it's kind of like when you're in a big group and then people bring up inside jokes to kind of like be like, yeah, we're cool because we understand this, but like not really trying to make other people feel bad, but that's what happens as a result. So there'd be times in classes where like I'd bring up like, oh yeah, remember that time we did that in class last year, and then everyone would be like, yeah, that was, and like, oh, remember that time when this person did this in gifted summative, and then I would feel bad because I'd be like, yeah, I know that. And it's like, ha, funny, related to, like, something that happened in the class. But then it's also, like, there were people that didn't understand it that were just, like, in the class. And I felt like there was probably some feeling of, like, I don't want to assume, but I feel like because of that, there is, like, the divide continuing of, like, hey, we're not part of, like, the big group because the big group's, like, the gifted kids. I was going to say cool. I don't know why I was going to say cool. But the gifted kids. And then, like the people that were in the AP classes that weren't from gifted classes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this, some people like specifically trying to, I don't know, like prove that you had memories with other people, like kind of just like showing off, like, oh yeah, I was in gifted. I remember when we did this thing. Well. You were there? Okay, I can explain it to you. But, like, it's not, like, relevant. Like, I think a lot of times that gifted people, don't understand that if you're outside of gifted, you don't actually care about, you know, what goes on in gifted. I know it's kind of ironic because we're recording a whole two podcast episodes on this, but it's, like, it's such a huge part of your identity, of like of yourself, is that you're in gifted, so that it kind of warps like the social interactions that you have, that you forget that like people who aren't in gifted don't actually, it's not a huge, like it's not a part of their life.
Yeah, like their academic standing in that way. It's added a lot too. Do you guys? Okay, maybe it's just me and a couple other people that I've talked to. Has like an inferiority complex been planted in you that you use? Not you use. How do I word this? You have like an inferiority complex that is covered by a superiority complex, or vice versa. At all.
Can you elaborate?
I remember, like...
Wait, Jane, do you...
I remember, like, after I read Pride and Prejudice, and it was, like, I just sat down, and I was, like, thinking about myself, and I'm, like, how much of me, like, that I... Sometimes I, like, speak with, like, a certain air sometimes that kind of comes across. Sometimes it's, like, unintentionally condescending, or like not even condescending, but just like an like the typical gifted kid aura. And I'm like, how much of that is actually how I think, and how much of that is just me trying to like say, look at all like look at how much I belong here or something? Because when I went through gifted at elementary school, I like dropped, like I went from like I love reading to like I don't even know who I am anymore. It was like just kind of like losing yourself, and then you like slowly rebuild, and you're like, I don't have to be like what Anna was saying earlier, the range of grades, when you're at the bottom, you feel like you're like, why am I here? Like, everybody here is so much better than me. So it's like, you kind of, when you grow, you kind of grow to care less about that. But sometimes you accidentally also have like this subconscious thickening of your skin to exude like some sort of mask, I guess you could say, that says, I belong here all this time. But it's kind of like empty inside, and you're like, I'm just hurting, man. I just need help. And it's like, exactly, you don't know how to ask. Like,
yeah. Like the, or like when you're in the gifted program and you're like, oh, everyone's so much better than me. Oh man. And you just feel lesser than, and then you start to kind of act like you're as good as them, or maybe even better than them, just so that you can start to feel like you fit in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did that a lot. I feel like I probably still do sometimes. Like in my mind, I'll be like, man, I'd be like putting down other people just to bring myself up. Yeah, don't do that. That's bad. I find myself doing that sometimes.
Yeah. It's like the continued like comparison, like constant comparison. You always have to be like thinking about how you stand compared to other people. And I think I did this more in like elementary school, but I would like try and find like areas where I would like be like, hey, you know, I'm better than this person at that, even though their grades are better than me. It's okay, because I'm better than them at this, and like I'm better than them at this, even though it's like the most random small things. I can't remember one at this time. If I think of one, I'll bring it up. But it's that, I don't know, I think it's a really toxic mindset to have to always be thinking about how you can like prove yourself and prove that you belong, because like in the back of your head, you want to be like, wait, I kind of enjoy when people are like, hey, you're the smart kid, right? But then in the back of your head, it's also like, but I shouldn't, but I want to, because like you want to be seen like highly and thought of that you're smart, but then it doesn't allow you room to be like, hey, it's okay if I make a mistake, because I'm not, because there's like what we were talking about earlier, there's this struggle between like,
yeah,
one side and the other side.
Well, I can't say it was a bad experience. As much as we made it out to be terrible and that it's affected how we live as people today, I wouldn't, if I were to go back in time, I wouldn't say no gifted.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of made us who we are in a sense, even though it's like the good and the bad, but at the end of the day, it helped us become who we are today.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I believe that's everything that we have today. Jane, thank you very much for coming on this episode and talking about our past experiences in the gifted program with us.
Thank you for having me. It was an enjoyable experience.
No worries. All right, if you are listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure to drop a follow. If you're listening on YouTube, make sure to hit that like button and the subscribe button right next to it. You can check us out on Instagram and TikTok, where we have interesting content every week, at the Cafe Combos Podcast. Thank you for listening. Have a good night.